It's the Earth Day celebration at the DGDG Mazda stores. Capital Mazda, Stevens Creek Mazda, Concord Mazda, and Team Mazda. Hey, it's Sean Del Gran. And this April, we've got outstanding offers on brand new Mazdas. Plus, we've partnered with One Tree Planted to help reforest areas of Northern California. We pledge to plant one tree for every vehicle we sell. Don't miss the Earth Day celebration at the DGDG Mazda stores in San Jose, Concord, and Vallejo.
We're getting you ready for the game on The Buildup with news from around the league, interviews, highlights, and more. Here's your host, Ted Ramey.
All right, what's happening, everybody? We are getting ready for the San Jose Sharks to take on the Minnesota Wild. We get an afternoon start today, 5 o'clock go time, 4:30 pre, and that will be with Dan Rusinowski and Brett Hedekin right here on the Sharks Audio Network. And, you know, obviously I always talk about the bar being to be, are they better than their last performance? Are they trying to be, you know, the team that they can at this point? And, you know, that might not be the highest bar to clear, but I think in terms of what they did the other night against Dallas, it was not the same type of hockey that they played against Chicago in the waning moments of the game, which they blew to a 4-0 lead. I think that you always have to look at all the players on the ice and see if they're still playing hard, of which I think the Sharks are playing hard. You just don't know if it's quote-unquote good enough, and that is the hardest part about it. I have not questioned the Sharks' effort at all this year. I think the effort's always been there. It's been the execution more than anything else. So we look at what it's going to be for the Sharks in this game against the Wild, which is not a great team, but still has a good amount of high-level talent. You know, you just have to see and hope that they bring forth one of their better performances, because I do think that they are probably ticked off about the way the last couple of games have gone, and they want to prove that they want to be here for the future and that they want to be overall the team that is able to show that much better of a response, that much more of an effort, and kind of make the season that has been up to this point, you know, maybe for one night seem like it was a distant memory. So again, the Sharks obviously in the midst of another losing streak, 8 losses in a row, and they would like to put an end to that before they get close to that double digit mark, which is obviously one more after 9. If they lost today, that means that their game coming up on Saturday against St. Louis would thusly be the 10th loss. But, you know, again, I'm looking for the team to have fight. I'm looking for them to have heart. Mackenzie Blackwood is going to be in net again tonight for the San Jose Sharks. I think that he was not his best the other night against Dallas. He's going to want to bounce back. So I'm excited to see him get that opportunity to do so. To learn a little bit about tonight's opponent, the Minnesota Wild, we are now joined by the radio play-by-play voice of the Minnesota Wild, Joe O'Donnell. Joe, what's going on, man? How are you doing?
Doing great, Ted. Thanks for having me.
Yeah, man, I appreciate you making time for us. And then, you know, I guess, take me back to the start, maybe the 30,000 view on this Wild season and how it's gone. I would say not according to plan, because this was a team that I was excited about, and there's obviously, you know, some top-level talent, but it clearly didn't go that way. And, I mean, it would be a step up from where the Sharks are right now, but I'm guessing this is not where you predicted this team would be come the end of March.
Yeah, it's been a tough year really all the way through, Ted, if I'm being quite honest. A lot of ups and downs, very much a roller coaster type season. Just earlier today after morning skate, they had a season ticket holder event, one of the club level, bars and restaurants. And it was well attended, like all those events are, because Wild fans are so passionate. Minnesota hockey fans in general, whether it's right, college hockey, high school hockey, you go right down the list as far as their love for the game. And I was just kind of, I don't want to say spearheading it, but just sort of like the point guard, right? Kind of emceeing it a little bit. And Matt Maka, who is the longtime president of the Wild on a business side and one of their chief executives, was kind of alluding to exactly what you just said, which is not where we expected the team to be. Back-to-back 100-point regular seasons prior to this. But it just felt like from the get-go, from the preseason when Jared Spurgeon, the Wild captain, arguably their top defenseman, got hurt with it might have been the last preseason game or with one game left in the preseason in Chicago at United Center. It just sort of felt like, we didn't know it at the time, but it was almost like the beginning of what was going to be just a tough year from an injury standpoint, from stuff off the ice. It just kind of, you know, nothing negative culture wise or bad locker room wise, but, you know, just some changing of the guard at certain positions, the assistant GM leaving the organization mid-year and Chris O'Hearn, just like a lot of weird stuff. It just seems like every step of the way, there's been something that's cropped up for this Wild team that's made it more difficult for them than maybe it needed to be. And it's tested their depth early on and throughout the year. And right now, essentially with 11 games left, they'd have to run the table and hope for some help to really have a chance at Stanley Cup playoffs.
I have to imagine that looking to the future, which, obviously it's not even April yet, but looking at next year, there has to be the belief that at the ground level, the foundational pieces are with this franchise to where they can get things turned back around rather quickly.
Yeah, and look, that really the last couple of years there's been this emphasis organizationally on, the bright prospect pool, right? And the Sharks are in the same boat in a lot of ways,
Right.
as far as having a lot of high-end picks coming up and a lot of high-end prospects. Now, they don't always all grade out, right? If we had a crystal ball and they always turned out correctly for these prospects, everybody would be a Stanley Cup contender every year because you feel good about your picks and the kids in your system. But the reality of it is there is an eye on the future for Minnesota. It's been that way for a couple of years. After next season, the 24-25 campaign, the Wild will finally be out of their dead cap hits for Zach Parise, Ryan Suter. Those buyouts from a couple of years back finally end after next year. And that's kind of always been like this carrot hanging at the end of the road there. Like, all right, if we get to that point, we're right back to spending as much as every other team is allowed to spend. Right now, Minnesota is basically just shy of $15 million, as far as less of a playing field than the other teams in the league because of the buyouts. So there's always been this, let's get through those buyouts. The prospect pool is deep. We've got Kaprizov, we've got Boldy, have a young goaltender, Jesper Wallstedt in the system in the American Hockey League. There's kind of been this like, let's get there, and then we've got a real chance to be a contender. However, when Bill Guerin's your GM, Sharks fans know when you have a former player that's a hard-nosed player like a Mike Greer, like a Bill Guerin, you don't want, like, those guys don't want to lose if they can avoid it. So Billy G hasn't taken his foot off the pedal at all with the moves he's made. Organizationally, they're still trying to win and get in the playoffs. But ultimately, yes, this is a team that has an eye on sort of those, a couple of years from now.
Just looking at the Central Division, I imagine you went into the year thinking Dallas and Colorado would
Yep.
be towards the top. How much has the emergence of both Winnipeg all year long and then Nashville, apparently a canceled trip to go see U2 at the Sphere,
Yeah.
made them? And I did see U2 at the Sphere. They should be ticked off they missed it. But I mean, it really, this is not the way that I saw the Central working out. And how much do you think that has impacted the Wild overall as a team?
Well, I was very bullish on Nashville going into the year, and it was mainly because of Andrew Brunette. I've known Andrew a little bit over the years, not nearly as well as so many people that I work with, because he's a former Wild player, he's a former Wild coach. At one point, I think he scouted for the organization. He had this sort of vague management role for a couple of years where I'd see him in the minors in the press box, and he was sort of overseeing and consulting. I mean, I don't even know if he actually had an official title, but he was there every day helping the brass, the Chuck Fletcher regime when he was the GM. So Andrew Brunette's like a staple of Wild hockey, one of their all-time great players from the early days. And like I said, he's basically had every role at the organization. I've always admired him from afar, whether assistant coaching role or when he took over the Florida Panthers after the Joel Quenneville situation transpired. And he left early that year. They go on win the President's Trophy. Like, I've always been a big fan of Andrew Brunette. So I thought that just even that change alone might just be a spark to get Nashville in with the good goaltending they have. Now, they were on the cusp for a long time until this 18-game heater they're on. And as far as Winnipeg, Ted, like, Winnipeg was great last year to start the year, then really faded. They haven't had that much of a fade this year. So I'm not maybe that surprised by them. And I certainly, I don't want to say I called it, but I certainly thought Nashville would be a little bit more of a presence than a lot of people probably thought, in large part because mainly I'm just an Andrew Brunette fan, I guess you could say. And I'm a believer that, he would have a good system and a good culture in place. And it seems like they've bought in there completely.
Obviously, both teams a part of the Western Conference in Minnesota and San Jose. I'm curious, what is the perspective of San Jose's season from your view in Minnesota? And I know that you know, our games are played usually, you know, a couple hours later, and not everybody's staying up late. I don't buy into the whole, oh, it's an East Coast bias. It's like, no, people like to sleep. I understand it, but I'm just curious. You know, the Sharks are at 40 points at this point of the year. They're seven shy of Chicago, who's the next, you know, team above them in the overall NHL. What has been the view of the Sharks from your point of view?
Well, I remember in the early season struggles, right? Was it 0-10-1 or whatever to start here? I'm from outside of Philadelphia originally, so I should note that I think the Sharks' first win came against the Flyers. Is that am I remembering
that?
That
is accurate. They beat the Flyers, and then they beat Edmonton.
Yeah, so it was that dubious distinction of the Flyers of being the first team to cough up the 2 points to San Jose. But I just remember seeing, like, you know, the back-to-back 10 goals against or whatever it was, and it was like, from afar, you're going, whoa, this is not good, right? Like, what could be going on there, right? To allow them to be falling apart in games like this. I respect David Quinn a lot. You know, he was in the American Hockey League years ago when I was there. I think he's, you know, from everything I remember about him, fair, honest guy. You know, obviously his track record as a coach in this league speaks for itself. Obviously I know a lot of the Sharks players, whether it was Kaapo Kähkönen or Kalen Addison, Granlund, Cunnan, Sturm, guys with wild ties, whether it be at the minor league or NHL level. So you feel for those guys cause you know them personally and you know, it's gotta just absolutely stink some days coming to the rink when you don't feel like you have a fair fight ahead of you. Mm-hmm. Those guys would never say that. They're pros. They compete their butts off, especially those guys I named, you know, I know them all well. But I just, you know, from afar, it was tough to see early, honestly. And if I'm being quite frank, I was looking at the schedule, like, when are the Wild play San Jose? Like, right. You know, in what you think is going to be a tight playoff race down the stretch, like, there's not really a free bingo card in the NHL, right? Like, no free square on your bingo card. But, like, if you're going to play a team, sometimes it's about when you play them. And when the Sharks are really struggling early, it's like one of those things, man, it's a shame we're not getting a crack at them, because if you can pick up 2 points, when you can pick up 2 points, as you know, whether it's October or April, they become valuable down the stretch. So I guess just hard to watch from afar early on. Like, man, it was a little bit of a laughing stock at times, I think, with some of those scores and results. And you feel for those, you know, the broadcasters and the players and I'm sure the fans. I mean, you're taking your lumps the last couple of years. You hope it pans out. You hope you get that number one pick. You land Macklin Celebrini or whoever the number one pick is in their eyes. Because to go through what they're going through organizationally the last couple of years and not end up with sort of that diamond in the rough prospect, that would be really tough to swallow.
In terms of the Wild playing a game where you're looking at them having success, what are you looking for in a game, you know, at random, but specifically against the Sharks tonight?
Well, one of the things that, you know, we talked to John Hines this morning after his media availability, just sort of like a little broadcaster huddle up, and he was asked about the minds, you know, just our TV broadcaster, Anthony LaPanta, asked him about, you know, the need to approach this game the right way, play the game the right way. And that's something John Hines has stressed. And I give the Wild credit. Teams below them in the standings during this push to try and get in, they have not faltered once. It hasn't been pretty, right? The Sharks had a lead in St. Paul a couple of weeks back. It took a Kaprizov hat trick to rescue them. But they've beaten the Arizonas, the Anaheims, the San Jose's, the Chicago's of the world post-All-Star break. They haven't had one blemish. It's the Wild struggles have been against the teams above them in the standings, which is probably why they are where they are. For Minnesota tonight, it's play the right way. It's manage the puck. It's check hard. These are things John Hines talked about. Because if you give a team that's out of a playoff spot any life early in a game, if you let them think it's going to be an easy night, this goes for not only the Sharks, but any team really in that sort of playing spoiler mode. John Hines' belief is if you don't have the right mindset, you give them hope early, you make it an easy game for them, they'll hang right around in there. You know, they'll take full advantage of that. They're pros. They want to get their points. They want to have success. They want to get out of their losing streak. You take that hope away from them. You take their spirit out of the game early. You have a way better chance to have success. So I'd like to see the Wild come out tonight, establish their identity in the first period. They've been off since Saturday. They've had a few practice days after a couple days off. I think they should be rejuvenated. They'll get Joel Eriksson-Ek back and Jonas Brodin back, a couple of dynamic Swedes for them. a forward and a defenseman, arguably two of their best players that have been out the last couple games. So I expect Minnesota to try and handle business the right way tonight and give themselves, again, try and extend this season as long as they can because they're still not mathematically out of it.
Do you think any message has to be delivered from the coaching staff to not overlook the Sharks in light of their record? Because shockingly enough, a lot of the Sharks' wins this year have come against some of the upper echelon teams in the NHL.
Yeah, absolutely. And John Hines said that. He said he told the team even just this morning, like, remember, a couple weeks ago, they were in this building. They had the lead. You know, the Wild didn't have the lead until there were 4 minutes left in the game when Kaprizov finished off the hat trick. So I think the respect factor will be there from Minnesota's perspective. It better be there because, as you guys know, the Sharks are a team that they're going to look. They might be undermanned. They might be outmatched on paper, but they are a team, from what I've seen, that are going to show up and compete. It just always hasn't gone their way this year.
I'm curious, just looking big picture at the NHL, in terms of the teams that you've seen the Wild go against, and maybe not looking at the whole perspective of every team's performance across this season, but who do you think is the best team that you've watched the Wild play against?
That's a hard one because, you know, sometimes you see a team when they're really rolling or you see a team when they're struggling or missing a few bodies due to injury. But, you know, if I'm going to pull up the NHL standings and say, wow, who really jumps out to me? Right now, like, I'm fully on board with this Nashville Predators team. Like, I don't think this is a fluke. Now, you could argue, you go on a run like this, what do you have left come playoffs, right? Because they've been playing playoff hockey for, gosh, 6 weeks now. but I believe in what they have there as far as their makeup for a chance to win. So if you're looking for a little bit of a dark horse still, I'd say that, you know, I think Nashville can make some hay and cause some damage in the playoffs. We've only seen Colorado once since, like, Thanksgiving.
Really?
So hard for me to really gauge exactly how well they're playing. I think ultimately Vancouver will be fine. You know, I know they've hit a rough patch now. Haven't seen Dallas much down the stretch. In fact, we're done with them in the season series. I think we wrapped up with them probably about a month ago. So kind of hard to save some of those teams. But, I mean, you look right now, Ted, it's crazy. Like, the teams that are on the fringe, you got the defending champs. Right. You got the Lightning that have won, what, two or three of the last handful of Stanley Cups. You got the Maple Leafs that are right now 11th in the NHL. I think we all think they're, you know, a team that could be reckoned with in the Eastern Conference. And then, you know, the Florida Panthers, I think they proved it last year, right? They have the makeup and the ability to go on a run. They've got the experience now from last season. So I'm very interested. Look, if the Wild miss the playoffs, I will be a first-round major viewer of the Stanley Cup playoffs. There's nothing better for me than the first round of the Stanley Cup playoffs where you have sometimes four games a night, back-to-back-to-back, like, I love that. And, you know, if the Wild are in the playoffs, sometimes you miss out on some of that stuff because you're preparing for games or you're calling a game, whatever. I'm kind of looking forward to, if Minnesota doesn't pull off this miraculous run, to saddling up for the first round and just taking in some of these great matchups, because I think it's going to be a heck of a playoffs.
Well, Joe, I know you've got stuff to do and a game to get ready for, so I will let you go. But I appreciate your time, and I hope I can bug you again soon. All right, man?
Yeah, we'll see you at the Shark Tank in a few weeks as well. Thanks for having me.
Again, that is Joe O'Donnell, the radio play-by-play voice of the Minnesota Wild, joining us here on the Sharks Audio Network. After today's game, the Sharks are going to be in St. Louis. That one is going to be Saturday at 5, so the same start time. And then they get a day off before we start off Monday, April 1st, the first of 5 at home for the San Jose Sharks. They are hosting Seattle, and then it's going to be Thursday. That is the game against the Kings. Then they play the Saturday game against St. Louis. Then the Sunday game against Arizona, followed by the game against Calgary at home on Tuesday night, the 9th. That finishes off that 5-game homestand of Seattle, LA, St. Louis, Arizona, and Calgary. They go on the road for one to Seattle. Then they are back home taking on the Wild. And then they've got two more after that against the Oilers on Monday, the 15th, and at Calgary on Thursday, the 18th. Taking a look at tonight's schedule, we've got the Flyers visiting Montreal at 4, Blackhawks and Sens at 4, the Penguins hosting the Blue Jackets at 4, Caps at Leafs at 4, Islanders at Panthers at 4, Red Wings visit the Hurricanes at 4:30, Flames and Blues in St. Louis at 5, Golden Knights visiting the Jets at 5, Kings see the Oilers in Edmonton at 6, Rangers visit the Avalanche at 6. Stars and Canucks, that's a good one. That's coming up at 7 tonight from Vancouver. The Preds at the Coyotes at 7. And the Ducks and the Kraken at 7. Of course, your Sharks right here, 4:30 pre. Dan Rusinowski, Brett Hedekin, 5 o'clock go time as the Sharks take on the Minnesota Wild. For the San Jose Sharks, I'm Ted Ramey, signing off.
This podcast can be found for download under Sharks Hockey Digest on iTunes, Google, and Spotify. And on demand anytime on the Sharks Plus SAP Center app, presented by Western Digital. All music by Yogi Yen.